Hey, welcome back. This is episode 82 of Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12. I'm your host, Steve, and today I'm talking with Lisa Woodruff of Organize365.com. Lisa helps you get control of your organizational messes at home and work. Lisa notes that since there is never enough time, we tend to make piles that are almost like an archaeological dig site. Can you identify with that? I can. Well, Lisa can help. She says that it's all about changing your mindset about clutter. I got a good one for you today. Enjoy.
They're not here for us. We're here for them. That's what it's about. Kids.
Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 is all about assisting classroom teachers and school administrators to overcome the many walls or barriers that kids face. Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 is focused on helping you help kids achieve their dreams. As a note, I hope that you will stop by Stitcher or iTunes and leave me a star rating and a comment. That helps the show get noticed by more people. Thanks for listening and joining me week after week.
Welcome to the Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 podcast, bringing you ideas and resources for K-12 classrooms, schools, and school districts. Hosted by Steve Mileto. And now, here's Steve with this week's show.
Hey, welcome back to Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12. Today I'm talking with Lisa Woodruff, the founder of Organize 365, which is a professional organization company. She can be found at Organize365.com and Organize365, the podcast. Lisa says, I believe that if organization were just about buying organizational products, there would be a lot more organized households. Organization is a journey. It's a way of thinking, and it can be learned. She's a former public school teacher who worked with kids who were preschooler ages through second grade, as well as she worked for 4 years as a part-time computer teacher for grades 1 through 8. Additionally, she has worked in a Montessori middle school, grades 6 through 8, where she taught math and science. She never taught the same class twice, and except for 2 years, taught in multiple locations every day with multiple grades. She believes that every child can learn and that it was up to her to find the best way to reach them. She's a mother of 2 children who face the challenges of ADHD and other learning disabilities. She is focused on being a mom, providing for their needs, and teaching them life skills to be successful independent adults. Lisa calls Cincinnati, Ohio, home. Welcome, Lisa. Say hi to everyone.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Well, Lisa, I appreciate you joining me. And, I first discovered Organize 365 when I heard you talk on the Learning with Leslie audio podcast. After listening, I visited your website and since have subscribed to your podcast, which I love, by the way. You got great advice, and I'll get into exactly why I need your advice. So much of what you do is relevant to my audience, and so here we are. And what I'd like to do is start by revisiting something that I shared in the intro, and I'm going to go back to it. In your bio, you say, I believe that if organization were just about buying organizational products, there would be a lot more organized households. Organization is a journey, it's a way of thinking, and it can be learned. Let's talk about what you mean. And I got to say, I love this because I've bought my share of household organizational products and I still have my piles all over the place. So can you go with that?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, this is something that I kind of have learned recently because I was a born organized person. Like, I was the person in my family that after I went away to college, when I would come back at Christmas, my parents would have a whole list of things that needed to be organized and set up and all the electronics that needed to be connected. And my mom was an artist. My dad was a salesman. So he was always out doing the gregarious salesman thing, but didn't have a lot of stuff to organize. So he was perfectly organized. But my mom had a lot of stuff, very creative, very artistic, probably would have been labeled ADHD, just has a very creative brain, which a lot of entrepreneurs and teachers have, this creative, dynamic brain. And so organization is boring and dry and analytical, never really floated her boat. And whenever she would start to get organized, she would get distracted by all the cool things in her craft room and create more art. And so I thought, in all of the organizational books I read growing up, said that there are two kinds of people, the born organized people and the not born organized people. And the not born organized people were just messies, and that's the way it was. I mean, that was the name of a book in the 80s and 90s and a big philosophy. And the more I got into teaching specifically, teaching is what changed my mind. And now I'm a professional organizer, not a teacher. And essentially, I go into people's homes and I teach them how to be organized. But when I was a teacher, my philosophy was every single student can learn. I was always put with the at-risk kids, the kids that did not help at home. They had one parent, usually the other one was in jail. And they were ready to be put on IEPs, or they were transient kids that moved a lot. And so they were put in my room kind of as a holding place. And I would not accept that. Like, I was like, these kids can learn. They may not learn as fast. They may not learn as much, but they have talents. They have gifts. We're going to pull it out of them. And if they can't learn, it's because I'm not teaching them, not because they can't learn. Everybody can learn. And so that's kind of why I believe that everybody can learn organization. And through my professional organization business, I have found that to be the case.
Awesome. Now, I've got to say something, because you said you were born organized, and on your bio, you talk about you are a born organized person, a BOP. I like that, a born organized person. And I am very jealous about this, because I think I am I'm going to add some new letters here, BTMPP, or born to make piles person. And literally, and I've gotten better about this over time, but I wish I had been better about it when I was teaching in the classroom, as well as an assistant principal. As a principal, that's when my world started helping me become a little more organized. Although, if you look around my office, you'd still see some of my piles, although they're smaller than in the past. can you talk about, what I'd like you to talk about is just being born organized, being a mom, wife, and teacher. You just talked a little bit about that in inspiration for your company, but talk about how you could help a piles person like me. I mean, what is it that you do to try and focus us?
Okay, first of all, I love that acronym. Like, I totally want to start using that. I want to send that to my graphic designer today and see what picture she comes up with.
Nice.
Because that's awesome. That's awesome. I'll totally credit you.
Thank you.
So here's what I've learned about piles. Piles are what teachers have. Projects are what homeowners have. Sales, CRM follow-ups are what salespeople have. We just call it different things, but it's the same scenario in every person. And now that I'm in my 40s, I can look back on my 20s and 30s and see kind of differently organization. And I do think there are stages of your life in organization, the 20s and 30s, 40 to 55 and 55 and above. So usually newer teachers are going to be in their 20s to 30s. And whether they're organized or not, they're going to have a lot of piles. And the reason why I think you have a lot of piles is because your brain cannot hold inside of it everything that you're processing and learning and how you're going to assimilate that information. So typically when I organize someone's home and we go through paper, we literally shred or trash 80% of it. But it's not that it's that you should feel bad about having paper. Like, the reason that you have paper is because you are acquiring information, you are processing, you're figuring out what you're going to do with that information, and then you're putting it into play. So for teachers, like, I'm a big printer because I'm in my 40s. So whenever I would do teacher lesson plans, like, I would print out so much stuff. It was ridiculous. But then I would spread all that paper out around me. I'd sit in the floor and I'd have a big circle of paper around me. And I was able to use that paper and move it around and figure out what my lesson plan was going to be or the scope and sequence for a class for the year. Because when I taught Montessori, it was all teacher-based instruction. Like, there wasn't a book we were going from, and we taught every child at the level they were at. So if I had 17 math kids, I had 17 math lesson plans. And so I would do that all on the floor. Now here's what happens. We put that in the pile after we make the lesson plan because we're going to go back to it. Because we've made our lesson plan or we've done 80% of what we need to do, but we want to make it perfect, so we leave that pile there for when we go back and we make it perfect. And we never do because we're on to the next thing, because that's boring kind of. Making things perfect is really, really boring. So we move on to the next thing. Now I'm going to study geology and I'm going to print all that stuff out. And we keep moving through life, and the piles are really the archaeological dig of how our brain thinks and where we're going in the future. There's nothing bad about it. It means you're really smart and really creative.
I gotta tell you, I love that, because you are talking to, I am a former history teacher, and I have a couple degrees in history, and so the archaeological dig site is really hits home there, because I think about some of the piles I had, and exactly that. I think Indiana Jones would be very happy with digging through my piles and finding what artifact could be sold to the museum, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
So with, I like what you're saying there. You know, we're kind of processing this information, and, you know, we're the idea that we are going to go back to that, and it's, you know, and I think that's really part of that, I don't know if I'd call it disease, but part of that infliction that hits us is that, you know, if I put it here, I will come back to it soon, and it's important, and one day I'm going to need that. And, you know, that I know that's what happens with me. That's all my piles. They're exactly that. Do you run into people who say, but, you know, because if I change my piles or if I put this stuff away, I won't know where stuff is?
Yes. And I'm going to talk about piles just a little bit more as I'm thinking, okay, as you're talking, specifically for teachers. Okay. Here's the thing. You're making these piles, you're going through, you've got the 80% done, you've got enough for the lesson plans, you don't get back to this pile. The number one issue affecting teachers, administrators, really anyone who works full-time outside of the home is there is not enough time. There just isn't. I'm going to be honest, there's not enough time. This is why you have to use winter break, spring break, and the summer to go through and eliminate a lot of those papers and get organized so you can survive, you know, the fall semester and the spring semester and the summer. I'm not saying you have to take your entire winter break or your entire summer organizing, but set aside a chunk of time, 4 or 5 hours, set the timer and say at the end of the 5 hours, whatever paper I don't get through is going to be put in a banker's box and labeled fall of 2015 until I get to it in the summer. So in the spring, I'm not looking at past papers. So what I find is sometimes you will look at that paper and let's say, I'm just going to throw out some averages here, about 40% of that paper, you'll be like, oh, why did I keep that? You'll be mad at yourself. Do not be mad at yourself. Just get rid of it, okay? Just get rid of it. Then there'll be about 40% of the paper that you'll hit and you'll go, all right, I am done with this for this school year, but I might want it next fall when I teach this, but I don't know where to keep this paper. So put that in a box, label it fall 2015, and just say papers used to create lessons for fall 2015 and look at it this summer. Move it out of the way so you can get ready for spring. And then you'll have 20% of the papers where they are active papers. You are still doing things with those. Let those be your current piles and keep adding to them. You're going to have paper piles. They are not going away. Just embrace it, but plan time where you're going to say, okay, these 100 piles are going to go down to 10 piles until I can make 100 again. And you will get better over time eliminating paperwork. When you start knowing that on a regular basis, you're going to address these piles. The more regularly you address them, the easier you will get rid of things.
Nice. Which I guess it's just taken me a whole bunch of years, and that's probably why my piles are better than they were.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a system.
You start developing that type of system, which is nice. So let's take a look at some of the things that you specifically do. Because, you know, one of the things, you know, when looking at my audience, teachers and administrators, they often have limited time at school because they're with kids, they're planning, they're at meetings, they're on duty. And you have specific ways that you help people get organized in their home or ideas for at work. And what I'd like to do is take you there now and get you to talk about a couple of those. Like for example, you have something that you call a Sunday basket. I was wondering if you'd talk about that.
Yeah, and I just want to empathize with your audience because I worked 18 months as a full-time teacher with my two kids who were in full-time school, so it's not like they were little and going to daycare or anything, and I couldn't hack it, people. I had to quit mid-year and come home. Like, I could not do the school thing and the mom thing at the same time, and I think part of it is, you know, when you are a mom, like, I'm just speaking specifically to the moms now, but when you are a mom and a teacher, like, you have two full-time jobs. Like, you can't outsource your children. But as a teacher, you also don't outsource your children there. Like, you have children at school and children at home, and you're always with children, and you will always prioritize the children over yourself and always feel like you're not giving either 100%, and that's why you work yourself to death. So here's what I did while I was working full-time with kids for those 18 months. The Sunday basket is my idea of how you organize home papers, piles of paper. It's how I teach homeowners to take piles of paper, the kitchen counter paper, all the paper, and keep those piles in one basket and have them go through and touch that paper and make decisions every single week so that they don't end up with the piles that you're talking about. And they put the projects they have in slash pockets in the basket. Now, when you start with laundry baskets of paper. And in about 6 weeks, you work down to a little like watermelon size basket. And that's your everyday paperwork. Now, teachers are a little bit different because in addition to that home basket, which is the Sunday basket, I created a teacher bag. So I used a 31 gifts bag that had 7 pockets on the outside. It's called the Organizing Utility Tote. You can use any bag you want, but I liked that bag because it was a big open bag on the inside and could fit like 3 or 4 binders inside. And then on the outside, I used it like a portable office. Like I had all my Sharpie markers in one pocket. I had a water bottle in another pocket. I had cereal bars in there. I had Post-it notes in there. And what I found was, if I was taking the kids to a doctor's appointment and I was going to grade papers, well, I had to have the right pen for that. Or, you know, I wanted to see my lesson plan. So I literally would carry, and you know you do this, you fill up the school bag and you carry it home. It's like your exercise program to fill it up as big as you can, carry it home in case there's a snow day. Oh, no snow day. Okay, well, let's carry it back. And I would get frustrated that I was always carrying everything. But you want to have what you need when you're at home and have what you need in the classroom. Well, I would just take this bag right into where I taught in school and set it right next to me. So I always had my lesson plans, what I was grading, anything important was in this bag. It was like a portable office. And that was the best thing I could have ever done because if I wanted to work on math lessons, most of it was in the bag. If I wanted to check, you know, I had a lot of checklists for the kids. I kept them in this one binder. I had all the checklists there, whether I was at home or at school. And I think creating some kind of a portable solution that has 90% of what you use on a regular basis and you just carry it around all the time will really save you a lot of time. And make sure that you have like a zipper bag in your bag or a bag like this that has pockets that has all the colored pens you like. And a water bottle so that you can literally take advantage of every 5 and 10 minute chunk of time you have.
That's excellent. As a note, I still carry a bag and I take it back and forth, but mine's not organized. And what's in there is all this stuff that I like to say that I'm taking it on, you know, on field trips with me.
Right.
All this stuff that I meant well and was going to take a look at it, but you know, it needs to see the outside world once in a while. And so it has, and then it comes back. And so with, you know, talking about your organization bag, you would need, you know, you're trying to teach someone how to use that bag also, I'm guessing, is that so that they don't do like me and you just kind of take the bag back and forth, right?
Yes. But, you know, sometimes I had to come to grips with sometimes I did take the bag back and forth, even if there was schoolwork that needed to get done.
Yes.
I got home and there was a hot mess at home. Well, you know, I'm teaching at home, so there's a hot mess, so I can't get to that grading. That's going to have to do some other day, or I'm going to wing it the next day in my lessons because, you know, it's not as detailed planned as I wanted it to be. But I just kept trying to keep the big picture thinking of like, is this helping my family? Is this helping the kids at school? And just go a day at a time. I couldn't plan more than a day at a time just because there was so much.
Oh, I understand. That's, you know, you're talking to someone who in the beginning of my school teaching career started in some very large schools in the metro Atlanta area. And what ended up happening is for the first 5 years of my teaching, I didn't have my own classroom. I floated. And because of that, I had a cart and I had to keep everything that I had on that cart. And I would have a place where I could call home base, which in most cases was a table in the library. And I had a little cubby hole inside that library to keep stuff. And because of that, you know, I would transfer my piles all over the place. And so your organizational bag would have helped me tremendously because I had this just big mess piled on top of my my cart as well as stuck in a cubbyhole.
Well, I never thought of a cart. I would have liked a cart. That would have been great.
You would have loved the cart?
Yeah.
Hey, the cart was a great thing. I was in a school that one of the schools that I was in had just under 2,000 kids. And you're going through the hallway. And so it acted as a kind of like a battering ram also to get through the hallway. Hey, coming through. Hey, meep, meep, coming through. Make way for the crazy teacher. He's got to get to the next classroom. There we go. But yeah, I had all my stuff on there. I'd love to say that I had my piles on my cart. So they were mobile piles.
Right. And I think one more thing I wanted to mention about the Sunday basket, it's not necessarily the Sunday basket, but the idea that Sunday really was the only day that I had a say over. You know, Saturday gets taken over by family and grocery shopping, yeah. And I did my laundry on the weekend. But if you can carve out that Sunday night time and however much time, and I'm sure teachers are already doing this, getting their lesson plans done, but I would try to get everything done at the house that I could on Sundays. I would get my lesson plans done. I would get my bills paid. And then try to plan out your week on Sundays as best you can, like who's picking up who from carpool. What nights do you have to stay late for teachers' meetings? And I'm going to offer your readers, your listeners, a free checklist at the end of this that they can find at organize365.com/teachers. And that's the checklist that I use every week where I plan. One of the checklists is I plan out my week so I can see it. You know, I use a Google Calendar, but physically on Sunday, writing it down reminds me like, oh, Thursday my daughter's going on a field trip. I need to have $10 cash for her. You know, how many times have you woken up and there's like no cash in the house and well, the kids definitely are leaving on a field trip? Like just those kind of reminders of physically writing it down and then physically seeing it on a calendar saying, yeah, there is no more time in this week, so don't commit to anything else. But then the other printable is just like a weekly checklist. Things that you don't remember to do, like turn your phone on and off, turn your computer on and off so it doesn't crash on you in the middle of a presentation or, you know, a meeting with a parent or whatever. Just all those routine tasks. The more you can add routine tasks to Sunday, even though it takes hours and hours on Sunday, your week goes so much better when you've done all of those things proactively.
Oh, I like that a lot. It really does. Usually there's some sort of, I use a quiet time, hours that are usually a little bit late in the evening on Sunday nights that allow me to do the same thing, getting ready for the next week. And that does help you get a grasp of what you got to get done so that you don't end up with that day where the kid's going on the field trip and you're like, you need how much money?
Yeah, right.
or you were supposed to be the chaperone on the trip and you're going, that's today?
Right.
Nice. Excellent. So let me have you repeat that again where because I want to make sure everyone heard that you actually have set up a special place on your website where they can go to get those printables. What was that again?
Yeah, so you just go to my blog, organize365.com/teachers.
Excellent. I appreciate you doing that for them. That's great. So you need to make sure that you go there now because it doesn't do you any good if you don't go there, all right? One of the things that I also focused on is that on your website, you talk about you have this 40 weeks whole house challenge. Can you talk about that just a little bit?
Yes. So there are two times in my life where my world just fell completely apart. I had no organization whatsoever, and I started questioning my existence. Like, I'm a born organized person. I'm a professional organizer. And, like, we ran out of toilet paper. I was like, what's going on? And the two times were, one was when my second child was born, and I had a two-year-old and a six-month-old and a thriving home-based business, but both of the kids had chronic issues, medical issues, and I was just overwhelmed with the piles, like you talked about, which is when I created the Sunday basket. And then the second time was when I was teaching full time and had the school age children, and mid-year in December, I mean, all of your audience is going to relate to this one. I will never get another teaching job in my life. I quit mid-year. Like, I quit over winter break.
Oh,
because
wow.
My kids, my daughter had to be hospitalized and she had a chronic medical condition, and my husband was taking time off of work, not getting paid, and he gets paid more than I do. And I just said, you know what? This is not working. Like, our children have to have someone at home to take care of their medical and educational needs. They just need a parent at home. We can't both be working outside of the home. So I came home. It's the middle of January now because I worked half of January. Everybody is off to school, relatively healthy, and I walk into my house and I couldn't even recognize my house. Like, there were piles upon piles. I had just come back from the grocery store and I had all these bags and there was no counter to put them on because the counter was full, right? So I went to put everything on the floor. I thought, well, that's fine. I'll just put it in the cabinets. And I opened up the cabinets and they were such a mess. Every drawer was a junk drawer. And I'm a professional organizer, for crying out loud. And I was like, I can't even put these away. Like, I have to organize this house in order to think. I don't even know what the closets are designated for anymore because no one had done any organization. Because we'd literally been surviving for 7 years in my house. You know, we had been from a family death, an emergency, and my parents got divorced. I mean, just all these things that happened, and my life was completely out of control. And I said to my husband, I know that, you know, like I should have a job and everything, but I need to organize this house. And I've divided the house into 40 sections, and I'm going to do it in 40 days. So I launched the blog, and I did that in January of 2014. And of course, no one could keep up with me, because who can take 40 days off to organize your house? I just about killed myself doing it. But I realized there was value in it. And so I, in the fall, launched it again. I realized the school week is 40, the school year is 40 weeks. From the week before Labor Day until Memorial Day is 40 weeks. And so the idea is that homeowners will send their kids off to school, and then they will spend the 40 weeks of the year organizing their house. And I have done my own challenge 4 years in a row, and I do it every year now because it's just maintenance now. But in order to get your home organized, it usually takes 3 years of doing this challenge, whether you could do 30 minutes, an hour, a day, whatever you can do. Even if you're teaching, you can do this on a Saturday or Sunday. And I have podcasts related to it in my app, the Organize 365 app. So you listen to the podcast, which is 20 to 30 minutes about week one, which is the Sunday basket, and you create a Sunday basket, and then you go to week two. And here's the thing. Just like how teaching is cumulative, this challenge is cumulative. You do not have to get to 100% perfection week one, year one. You're going to do it every year, just like you're going to review math every year. You're going to go through the history lessons every year. You're going to do your house every year. So if all you get from the Sunday basket, like I literally had people last year, all they did was listen to the podcast all year, and I congratulated them at the end of the year because they were changing their mindset on clutter. Like they actually were becoming organized just by listening. And I had more people reply to me after that post and say, oh my gosh, you're right. I do. I totally think differently about organizing now, even though I haven't been able to implement anything you've said yet.
I like that. There is a great bumper sticker or t-shirt, changing their mindset on clutter. I like that. That's
No. See, you're a great marketer. I just need you on my marketing team.
That's exactly what is happening. And I got to tell you that what's happening as I'm listening to your podcast and reading your stuff is that it's helping me feel guilty about my piles. And so it's making me act on it, especially because once we get finished with this, once this podcast is published, there are going to be people coming into my office going, uh-huh. So have you taken her advice yet? We're waiting. And so I'm going to be pressured to set aside those days to make sure that I am following your advice. Cause I'm going to have all these friends going, uh-huh. Yeah. You like to preach it, but are you practicing it? So I can see that right. One coming. So, but I love that. That's, you know, cause the change in the mindset is so important, because that is what, you know, it is what happened. Going back to something you said earlier, you just feel like if I put it here, I know exactly where it is, and I'll deal with it later. Well, the later it ever comes, and you may access it or you may not, but no matter what, you put something else on top of it. And, you know, and I have nice little neat ways of organizing my piles. So, you know, you put some things sideways, you put some things colorful on top of something that's not colorful, and, you know,
right.
I'm just a mess. So I, you know, it's, but that's great stuff. I love what you were saying, because 40 weeks, thinking about it in terms of school, that would really, you know, give you the ability to set aside and schedule that time. You know, it's funny because here we are into the holidays, Christmas season and so forth. And I've got, I'm getting ready to, this weekend is I need to look at the decorations I have and decide which ones are going to survive this year. And am I really going to go buy some LED lights and things like this before I like to decorate outside my house. And well, this weekend is, I'm actually going to, with this conversation, you're inspiring me to do some things that I have, you know, that I just keep creating little boxes and they put them further in the back of the attic and so forth. Well, this weekend they'll be, this is the pile that I need to save. This is the pile I don't need to save. And now I actually get rid of the pile I don't need to to save.
And that's great. That's perfect, because the week 18 is always over the winter break. And that's when we do the storage room. Because all of your holiday decorations are up. So half of your storage room is empty. You can actually walk in there and make decisions on what's left in there, and what didn't get put up gets cut, it gets donated. Week 17, which is right before that, again over winter break, is the linen closet. And that's because we're going into cold and flu season. Now's when you check and make sure you have the flavor of the Tylenol that the kids like, and you have the flu medicine on hand, and do you have enough sheets and towels for if the whole family gets hit all at once? Because you're a teacher working full-time or an administrator, you're in the depths of all the germyville. You get sick, your husband gets sick, the kids get sick. Well, you don't have time to be going to Walgreens. You will go, but you don't feel good. It would be just so nice to have your bathroom stocked and know that, okay, flu and cold, anything you do for organization is going to save you time and it's going to save you stress. So we do the linen closet and we do the storage room over winter break. And as I'm going through this year of the 40-week One Whole House Challenge, it's my fourth or fifth year going through it, I can't remember, I'm getting these urges. Like, I got this urge to organize the front hall closet, and then the following Monday was organizing the front hall closet, and then I was like, all right, we got to organize this kitchen, and then the following week was organizing the kitchen. And it really is cyclical how you organize these different rooms. So don't feel like you have to go to the blog and start with week one, because you'll be off seasonally. Just start wherever we are and keep up with wherever we are, because it will work with what season we're in.
That's awesome. That's And I like that that advice, because if they take a look at that, the idea that you don't have to start from week one. You can start where you are, look where that, what that list says, because this is a perfect time. Like you said, the storage area, you've emptied some of it, so it makes it easy to get around. And, hey, seasonal cleaning, I like that. That's that's awesome. As I'm getting close to the end of the interview, I want to make sure that we talk about a couple of things. Number one, now, on your podcast and on your blog and website, you say you talk about virtual assistants. Can you talk about that just a little bit?
Yes, I do virtual organizing. Like, if people are like, I just don't know how to do this space, or I need you to coach me through organizing this space, I do virtual organizing. But I'm actually launching something different in January, which I think will be much more impactful, more economical, and just I think it's what Organize 365 has been missing, and it's going to be a mastermind community through a Facebook group.
Oh, cool.
So there will be a fee to it, but it will be a group where you're in this Facebook group. Everybody is going to be doing the 40-week challenge together, and I will put a 15 to 30-minute challenge every day in the group, and I'll be in there commenting. I want to see before and after pictures, and then everybody else can kind of comment too, and they can ask questions or, you know, share advice. And I'm going to be doing three different groups. So there'll be a group for people in their 20s and 30s, a different group for people 40 to 55, and another group for 55 and over. Because when you think about your kitchen, if you are 20 to 30, you have little kids, you have a new house. Those kinds of things are how you're organizing your kitchen. If you're 40 to 55, you have middle school, high school, and college age students, you're often making four different dinners at four different times because nobody's home at the same time. You are the most pressed for time. You're taking care of your parents. You're usually working full time. You use your kitchen totally differently than a young mom does. And if you're 55 and over, maybe it's just you and your spouse, or you've lost your spouse and you're learning to cook for one, but then you have the family back and there are 12 people. And how much stuff do you really need to keep on a regular basis? And that kind of thing. So there will be three different communities so that I can make the challenges relevant to where you are in your life and then support you. So that if I'm talking about organizing toys over in the 25 to 30 group, I could be talking about creating a legacy and organizing photos over in the 55 and over group. And everybody is moving ahead on the organizational journey in a community. Because I love my podcast. I love my blog. I really talk to my readers and listeners like I'm sitting next to them. But this will allow me to really hear them in real time and all of us to have a conversation online.
That's excellent. What a great idea. Well, we look forward to it. And so you said January is when you're going to roll that out.
Yes, and you can always find information about that by going to organize365.com/mastermind, and I will add that link onto the page that is organize365/teacher, so it's all in one place when you go look for it.
Oh, excellent. Thank you for doing that. Well, before we finish, there's some questions that I like to ask guests. First, what I'd like to ask you is, if you were given the chance to talk with 100 brand new teachers who haven't started teaching yet, what advice would you give them?
You know, the best advice I got, and it stuck with me, was, I'm going to try to remember what it was. They said, the first year of teaching, you are just surviving. Like you're just trying to get through the year. The second year of teaching, like you're figuring out what you're going to teach and you kind of get systems in place. And the third year of teaching, you realize there are children in the room. And like when I heard that as a brand new teacher, I thought, well, that's ridiculous. I know there are children in the room right away. Like I'm caring for children. But it was so true. Like you are just trying to survive your first year. And your second year, you're like, okay, I remember I taught this last year. Let me change that lesson. And you're just kind of starting to tweak and come into your own. And by the third year, you're like, okay, I generally know what the curriculum is. I know who my people are. And you're like, oh, wow, these kids have different needs in here. And it's not a degradatory type thing. It's just reality. You cannot do everything all at once. Just like you cannot organize your whole house at once. Even I couldn't do it. Just go through the process. Go through the journey. Enjoy every day. Make notes about what you want to change. But give yourself praise and congratulations for what you did well and what you want to keep doing the following year.
Nice. Excellent advice. Do you have a teacher in your past that made a difference in your life? And if you were given a chance to say thank you, what would you say?
Okay, this was Mrs. Harris, and it was fourth grade. I loved fourth grade year, and it was because we learned about colonial days. And she had us dress up in colonial costumes, and we were in this small little classroom of 25 kids. But we dipped candles into wax. And I don't know, we paraded around this little room. It felt like forever. I don't know how long it was. But you were in your line of 25 and you came to the front and you dipped your piece of string into the wax. And then you kept going around in this little snake and you would keep doing it. At the end, you had these candles. And we made some kind of food, like a pumpkin latte. I don't remember what it was. But it was this whole week where we got to pretend like we were colonial children. We even had a dunce cap and the class clown actually did get put in the corner with the dunce cap. Uh-oh. Now, of course, I was in the school in the 80s. You could never do this today. But it's the same kid who in eighth grade ended up sticking his tongue to the flagpole for real.
Nice.
But it was great. And it was the first time where I always loved learning. I always wanted to be a teacher. But I really felt like I was where those colonial children were and I was doing what they were doing. And I remember that lesson to this day. Now, interestingly, she moved into our neighborhood after I had moved away where my parents still lived. And I adopted my children and I came back and I got to tell her thank you. And she was in the process of adopting her children. So we got to connect on that level as well. And so I did get to tell her thank you. And I told her this story and she just looked at me like, really? Like she had no idea how much she had impacted my learning and how, as a teacher, I tried to make everything like that week. Like I always tried to make it experiential and as hands-on as possible and as real for my students as possible.
That's awesome. That's awesome because those are the things that we remember the most, those experiences and those interactions that just they just stuck with you, made a difference. You enjoyed it. That's cool. Thank you for sharing that. Well, Lisa, it's been awesome talking with you today. And in closing, is there anything else that you'd like to share, as well as if you could make sure that if the audience would like to connect with you over social media, where can they find you?
So I'm mostly on Facebook. So I'm Lisa Kelly Woodruff on Facebook if you want to personally friend me, or you can email me at lisa@organize365.com. But really, the Facebook group, the blog, the podcast, those are ways you can hear about me, comment. I reply to every comment. I reply to every email so far still. And I love talking about organization, solving problems, and making your life more systematized so that you can do the things that you're gifted to do, which in this case is teaching.
Awesome. Lisa, thank you so very much. It's been great talking with you. And I wish you the best. I hope you have a great holiday season coming up, as well as some good weather up there in our area of the world, if we get snow, it only lasts for a couple of days. They don't know how to deal with it, but it only lasts for a couple of days. I don't know about yours, but.
No, since I grew up in Cleveland, they know how to handle snow. Cincinnati does not know how to handle snow at all. But
nice.
Thank you so much. I'll enjoy my snow days and organize my children's rooms with them.
There you go. Awesome. Have a wonderful day. Thank you, Lisa. Appreciate it.
You too. Thanks.
Hello, listeners. We want to remind everyone to check out all of our digital content at teachinglearningleadingk12.com. That's teachinglearningleadingk12.com. You can also find our podcast on iTunes. Just search Teaching Learning Leading K-12 in the iTunes store. Check back often for updates and new material.
Hang tight, everyone. I'm going to let go of the wall.
You have been listening to Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12. recorded in Eastman, Georgia, at the Heart of Georgia Precinct.